go to Philippians. We're going to see this morning, in fact, last week, chapter 3, Paul begins by saying, finally. I'm writing this letter, and finally, this is what I want, you know, to say, and this is what I want to end with. It's interesting to me that in the middle of chapter 4, he says, finally again. It's like the Lord, he had thoughts, and these are the final things I'd like to share with you. And then it's like the Holy Spirit says, Paul, they're not, what you just shared, that's really good stuff. But you know what? Now I have, the Holy Spirit, I have some final words that I want you to share with the church. And I just think it's neat to be, as a Christian, I think it's neat to be aware that God has just neat things for us, really, every day. You know, that I would expect God's hand to be active in my life and in my challenges and in my situations every day, that I can be organized and I can be disciplined and I can have a plan for my life, but ultimately God has a plan. And God, if you want me to go beyond what I've put in my day as finally, he'll do that. That he is able to speak. He's able to lead. He's able to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. And so I just like the reality, I guess, of Paul's writing here and Paul's life and what God was doing in his life and in the ministry of the gospel and in the instructions that Paul has for this church. Now, the church, we said, was really very fractured in certain ways, and there was a lot of divisiveness and strife within the church, and that's one of the main reasons Paul's writing to the church. He's saying that this shouldn't be, that there should be unity. We all love Jesus. We should have the mind of Christ. If we have the mind of Christ, how can we be divided? How can there be disharmony? How can there be competition? How can there be these disputings? There was also a problem that many people hated Paul, and so there were attacks on Paul, and so he's writing, in a sense, to speak the truth concerning his ministry and why he's doing this ministry. And then a sub-theme to the whole thing, in the midst of the fact that Paul was in a horrible place right now in his life. Paul was in prison. He was in a horrible prison. There was nothing nice about it. Paul, not knowing really whether he'd live or die, another thing that Paul writes about, we see Paul's heart and we see Paul's love for others. We see Paul's selflessness in the midst of what he was going through. He's not really thinking about himself. And then a sub-theme, he's saying that I want to just continue to rejoice. I want to be a person that is full of worship and praise and gratitude to the Lord. And in spite of what I'm experiencing, God is good. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I can rejoice in the Lord. He encourages the church. Rejoice in the Lord. You know what? If we're a praiseful people and a rejoicing people, we already said what we can have the mind of Christ. When we have the mind of Christ, we have the same mind in a sense, and there's harmony and there's unity and there's love and there's those kind of things. But also, if I'm rejoicing in the Lord, I think that also creates a harmony and a unity and a oneness. And so he encourages the church to rejoice. And not only that, but I think how many times, you know, on a day like this, certainly if this was tomorrow, Monday morning, I get up and it's like this. Oh, you know, not only am I facing the work week, but, you know, it's dreary, it's dark, it's cold, it's rainy, there's nothing nice about it. And I don't think many people love that kind of weather. Oh, boy, Cal, oh, boy, oh, I'm going to have such a great day out in the rain and the cold. And the it just adds the atmosphere of the weather itself tends to gloominess. And so if I'm rejoicing, it does something to my life. It lifts me up. You know, I don't have to be down. I don't have to get depressed. I don't have to walk around in this gloominess. I can have a joy in my life. And so I have to choose to rejoice. And that's one of the things that Paul talks about. So he begins chapter 4, "Therefore, my beloved," he loves them. He sees them as you know, it's almost like that's my what you might call your say to your wife, you know, husbands. "Hey, love, you know, you see the love of Paul for these Christians." And I have to ask myself, do I have love? Do I have a love for the brethren, for the sisters, for my fellow believers? "Therefore," again, after all that's said, "my beloved, and long for." You know, he not only loved him, but he longed to see him. He longed to be with him. "I can't wait to get away from him," right? And that wasn't Paul's heart. He loved them. He wanted to be around them. It was a joy. And so for Paul, they were his reward in a sense. He preached the gospel. They'd come to Christ. And rather than be awarded, you know, a physical crown. And this speaks of a crown that an athlete would earn for winning, you know, maybe the athletic contest. Paul says, "You are my crown, and you are my joy." And so, "Therefore, my beloved, and long for brethren, my joy and my crown." What a beautiful, like, view and mindset when it comes just to the church, because, you know, if we look around, that gives us some, you know, heart of kind of how we should be looking at each other and looking at the church. And now he encourages them. These are going to be some of the final things he says. So, what's the best thing? He shared the same thing. Isn't it interesting that this church is no different than the Ephesian church we just finished with? He wrote to the Ephesian church. And the whole last part of that book, "Stand. I want you to stand. I want you to succeed. I want you to be victorious. I don't want you always getting knocked down, beat up, and kicked around." And so as a Christian, stand. So stand fast. And how am I going to stand fast? Not in my own ability, not in my own strength, not in my own plans, not in my own intelligence, but stand fast in the Lord. Jesus is where it's at. You know how simple that is, right? But yet how often I'm just moving in my own strength. I'm just doing my own thing. And Paul just says, stand fast. What? In Jesus. Stand fast in the Lord. I just think, so I don't know why lately I've been thinking of it was one of the first, like, quote, Christian songs. You know, I don't even know who did it. Andre Crouch, maybe, or one of those guys. "Jesus is the answer." Or made it, I don't know who wrote it, who did. Huh? Yeah, I think, yeah, "Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there's no other. Jesus is the way." We used to drive around. We literally did. Just, we'd stick our finger out the window. It was always this. One way. Everybody knew what it meant. And unbelievers even knew what it meant. And you just drive and you pull, this is in Los Angeles, you know, you got six lanes and you pull up and you stop and, you know, I don't know, I was always looking around, you know, and hey, you know, you get somebody glance your way and you just give them the one-way sign. You know, just how important that was, that Jesus is everything. And I think we kind of lost that today. You know, we just lost an energy and an excitement of really what the true answer to true life and to what everything is. It's Jesus. And it isn't more complicated than that. People need Jesus. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the solution. Last night, every kid, every grandpa, every, I don't know how many grandpas, there's a lot of grandpa and grandmas bring their grandkids here on Harvest Carnival night. And I just thought, I talked to a bunch of them and I just thought, wow, how amazing that is. You know, and they bring their kids out because they want their kids and their grandkids. And I talked to one, I didn't know he had great grandkids. No, I said, hey, you brought your grandkids. No, my great grandkids. I go, whoa. You're getting old. No, I didn't. Great grandkids. Yeah, and I'm just going, wow. You know, and Jesus, they need Jesus. They all need Jesus. And so that's what Paul talks about, that we want to survive. It's only in Jesus. Stand fast in Jesus. Now, he deals real quick with, maybe, most people believe that this is part, and when you know, I think it's two women. No, I won't. Two women, no. There's a problem in the church, all right? And apparently it's, he singles out these two. He's just encouraging them, you know, to get things right. I implore Euodia, and I implore Synergy to be of the same mind in the Lord. What was he writing? What was the problem? There was division and divisiveness, schism and disagreement. And so it's just what he's already written. You know what? We should be able to what? Have the mind of Christ. If we have the mind of Christ, how can we be? Jesus isn't divided. And so, be of the same mind in the Lord. Speaking maybe to, you know, what was kind of going on there in the church. You know, get your mind off your own desires and your own rightness, right? That's where we get into trouble. I'm right and you're wrong. I know and you don't know. And Paul just saying, you know what, just again, get into Jesus. Have the mind of Christ. If you want to read what the mind of Christ is, just go back to chapter 2, you'll see. Yeah. A huge part of the mind of Christ is humility. There's no pride there. Brokenness. I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel. These two ladies were great ladies. They served. They were, I like that word, labor. It was a labor of love and sacrifice to do a harvest carnival. Something as simple as that. Hours. Some might be sore today. Had to carry stuff. It's a labor to stack these chairs and move them. We don't want to drag them because it puts marks in the carpet and stuff. So we carry them. Anymore, I can carry like two maybe, you know. I mean, to carry and to just tear this down and set it up, that's a labor of love. Why? Because one kid might get saved. One person might get saved. Isn't it worth it? Yeah, it's worth it. And so these people were laboring. It's a labor. To serve Jesus. Just not this hocus pocus magical thing. No. You know what? We've hammered, we've nailed, we've been, you know, just for the main radio, it seems. Why don't we ever? We asked this question just a couple weeks ago. Why don't we ever climb towers and build things and in the summer when it's not 80 degrees, 70 degrees, we haven't once. It's been December, I think, every year. And the last tower we put up, I can remember Jake and I were out there. He had his car insulated Carhartts on. I had mine on. You know, you got to do things with your... I couldn't wear gloves to do all those nuts and bolts. And you're out there touching metal in 20-degree weather. I mean, that's cold. And then you're on hills. When you're putting up towers, you're on hills. Guess what? It's always windy on hills. So, I mean, it might be 20 degrees out and then with the wind chill, who knows? It's a labor. They labored with him in the gospel. And with Clement, we don't know which Clement this was, but there was a pretty famous Clement in the early church. Whether this was him or not, we don't know. And the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. And that's the most important thing. You know, and hopefully for us, you know, we're not looking for any applause or any accolade. You know, we just want our names in the book of life. And Jesus is our goal. He's, you know, you could say, man, he's the prize. Heaven is the prize. And so, for what? The umpteenth time. Rejoice in the Lord when you feel like it. You know, rejoice in the Lord once in a while. No. Rejoice in the Lord always. In every circumstance, in every situation. And if I didn't say it once, let me just say it one more time. And again, I will say, rejoice. Think Paul, by the Holy Spirit, really, it's not Paul. You think the Lord is trying to make a point? I think so. Again, I really can. You know, I can just be really quiet, just go about my business, just get through it, And I have to force myself and remind myself continually, you know what? You're commanded, not suggested, not an option. You are commanded to rejoice. Why are you not doing it? Why are you not rejoicing in the Lord? You know, ask yourself that question. Why am I not rejoicing in the Lord? I'm commanded to do it. No wonder life is such a toilsome, burdensome drag. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord's at hand. And that just helps me. I think it's important. The Lord's at hand. You know what? The Lord's always at hand. I mean, the Lord's always watching us. He's in us. But I take it as the Lord is coming back. He's standing right at the door. The rapture is about to occur. And man, I want to be living my life like that. That's where I want my focus to be. Jesus could come back at any moment. And so, man, I want to be rejoicing. I want to be looking forward. I want to be doing the gospel. I want to be laboring. I want the gentleness and the compassion of Jesus to be seen in my life. The Lord's at hand. And because the Lord's at hand, why am I worrying about tomorrow? I'm not even going to be here. Jesus is coming. Am I standing fast in the Lord or am I not? Jesus is the answer. And so this is another command. Why don't I never? I never obey this one. I do rejoice. I'm reminded, I catch my, yeah, man, forgive me, Lord. I'm going to choose to rejoice. Man, I struggle with this one. Command, be anxious for nothing. I'm anxious about everything. Cripe. I don't know. Kim said, you know what? There's days that a few days once in a while I can sleep in. Why is it whenever I can sleep in, I can't sleep in? I wake up, no way am I going to sleep. And then days I have to get up. Man, I'm thinking I could sleep in, but I got to get up. And my response to that was 5 o'clock every morning. I'm awake. I'm up. There's nothing I can do about it. I've resigned myself to the fact. That's just the way it is. That's the way I'm built. As soon as I wake up, my mind is going. And there's no way I'm going to relax from that point on. I'm anxious about everything that is out there. I got a text from Mark. I don't know if I forwarded it to Jim or he got it or whatever. I don't know what it was. And we were kind of thinking, Buffalo, next spring it looks like now. And I get this text. Hey, we've finally got things. We've got to the people we need to get. It looks like maybe early December. And I was thinking, man, this is so exciting. And then right away I go, oh my gosh. How can this happen? I should be excited. And now anxiety just overrode it all. How are we going to do it? How are we going to afford it? What's going to happen here? Whatever. I don't have time for this. I wanted to call Jim what do you think? You know, shouldn't we delay this? And I say, no, it's got to be on the air. You know, I'm just being honest. The whole thing, I was really excited. And it just ruined it. I was so anxious. I was going, oh, geez. I know we're going to fail. That's what my thought was. I know this is not going to work. Be anxious for nothing. And Jeff, why are you not? But in everything by prayer. Prayer, aren't you praying, Jeff, about these things? Aren't you committing everything to prayer? Isn't that, I mean, we haven't got to it yet. If these things weren't important, I don't think the Holy Spirit would have said them. But another place in another book, two books from now, we'll get there in a little bit. Rejoice always. Oh, did I hear that a number of times in another letter? Rejoice. I think it's important. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you and for me. If that's God's will, I think I ought to be doing God's will. And it just boils down to that. God's will. Am I obeying God's will for my life? I better be rejoicing. I better be praying. And I better be giving thanks. There's some other things he says in Thessalonians there. You know, I ought not to be just a naysayer and a squisher. Oh, that person's so excited about Jesus. Let's see if I can just squish their enthusiasm a bit. Why are you so excited about the Lord? That isn't nothing. Yeah, I've heard that a lot. You know, with the radio or what? Oh, I don't like this, or I don't like. You know, I'm going, oh, here I thought it was so exciting. Yeah, just like, you know, why couldn't you just say something? Well, geez, that's awesome, isn't it? So, be anxious for nothing. Am I praying? Am I praying specifically? I think that's what the supplication is. You know, just be praying about everything. And then there's certain things that are just, you know, a little more specific and be supplicating the Lord in these things. You know, talking specifically to the Lord about these specific things. Lord, right now, this situation is what it is, and I'm bringing it to you. You know, would you have a hand in it? Would you work in it and bring me through it? And then, geez, if it wasn't enough, and all these things with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Thank you, Lord, that there's another ray. Thank you, Lord, for the possibility of Buffalo. Thank you, Lord, for, I mean, beyond that, there's so many possibilities in the radio thing, but thank you, Lord, for tomorrow. Thank you, Lord, that I'm going to be back at work. Thank you, Lord, I'm going to be around these people. You know, thank you, Lord, for the Harvest Carnival. I was thinking last week, I need to continually pray throughout the day for the Harvest Carnival. Lord laid it on my heart that I'm just praying for. Because I was talking to somebody I even mentioned to you. I've been at three funerals lately. And at each one, I didn't do the one, I did two. The one last Saturday, I was just like, oh my. When you're sharing the gospel of Jesus and you're sharing the truth of Jesus and the hope of resurrection. And I mean, there's death right there. I mean, it's so real. And, you know, is that what? And like, people are like openly mocking that. And I think, wow, where has this society come? Where the hardness, and I was talking to somebody about that because I was saying, man, I've experienced people mock me before. I don't care about that. But it's just like, wow, this person's laying, he's not that person, they're dead. You're going to be dead. What's so funny about it? You know what I mean? I mean, I don't quite get it. You know, the reality is right there. I mean, you got something, you know something I don't? I should ask him, will you share? I mean, I didn't because I wanted to. Well, I wanted to punch him first, but I wanted to confront him. But that wasn't the time or the place to do it right then. And I'm going, wow, that's an amazing thing. And this was my question. And I actually asked another pastor. I said, you know what? Paul says that when he preached, and I just want to make sure that when I'm teaching, when I'm preaching, he, a number of times, the power of the gospel. Now, sometimes what I was kind of getting mixed up in my head, like I got to be doing more. I've got, no, it's not me. But it maybe is me as far as, and what the Lord was showing me was, if you want to see the power of the gospel, you got to be praying even more. You got to be praying. Lord, I'm going to share the word. The word doesn't return void. There's power in the word of the gospel. And so I want to be out of the way. I want to share your word. Convict their Holy Spirit, convict their hearts. Holy Spirit, break them down. Holy Spirit, bring them to their knees. I can't. The Holy Spirit can. And until the Holy Spirit does, that's why we need to be praying. That's why I thought, oh Lord, at this Harvest Carnival. I don't want to just be another Harvest Carnival. I want to give an invitation. I want to see a response. I want, Lord, we've got to see that. Lord, I want people to be saved. I don't want to leave there deceived. I don't want to, what is a bag or a basket full of candy going to do for them? Rot their teeth, make them hyper, and have them gain weight. I don't know. Not going to do nothing for them. They need Jesus. And so, wow, praying, not being anxious, praying with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And then as I do that, what's he say? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And I was saying, what a neat thing there. How I need to appropriate the peace of God in my life. You know, I have peace with God. You know, there's a lot of people, again, last night, they're at odds. They're enemies of God. They're at war with God. They're trying to be God and defeat God and kill God and eliminate God. They need to be at peace. They need to be saved. They need to be reconciled to God through Christ Jesus. And so once I'm reconciled with God, then I can experience His peace. I can have peace with God. Then I can experience the peace of God as the Holy Spirit indwells my life. But then it goes a step further that I can have the peace of God. Then it goes a step further because I can't comprehend it all. And I don't understand it all. I don't understand why this person who loves the Lord suffers. I don't understand. I don't understand some of that stuff. I struggle with that sometimes. And God will give me the peace that passes even my understanding. I don't have to understand it, but I can be at peace. Wow, isn't it neat to be at peace? That's what that's what I've always, I say, you know, I'm out in the war all day. We're in the world all day. I will never have a home that's a war zone. I will never do it, never. Not going to happen. I'm not going to be at war with my wife. I'm not going to be at war with my kids. No way. I will not allow it in my home. I want the peace of God in my life. And so God promises it. And he says that as I'm praying and I'm supplicating and I'm rejoicing and as I'm doing this with thanksgiving, as I'm in Jesus, standing in the Lord, that this peace, it's a military term, it's like God will guard, it's a guarding of my heart and my life and my mind, and I need that. To me, it's like an active thing. And again, the Holy Spirit's doing it. In my life, I'm thinking, man, I should be going crazy here. I should be in total chaos. Or I should give up or whatever. And it's the Holy Spirit initiating and protecting and keeping that peace in my life. How can I can receive the worst, or something can blow up just like that. You know, everything's going and bang, it blows up. And you're going through it and you're going, wow. I didn't even think about it, but you know what? I actually was thinking about this I was coming up Yankee Bush Hill and I passed a house and I was thinking, man, I can remember years ago. It was the first time I ever experienced this in my life. And it was a divorce. It was a breakup. And I just found out that wow, I can't believe this. How it just devastated my life. And how, oh, life is over. I can't believe this. How could this ever happen? I can't believe. And the Lord would just show me, wow, how he guards. And now we've experienced some horrible things. Tragedies. Even in our personal lives, and all of a sudden you look, where'd that peace come from? How come I'm not totally isolated in the tank, throwing my arms up in the air, giving up, it's over? There's just a peace there. That's that guarding the Holy Spirit does. Now, I thought you already... this was the last thing you were telling me, Paul. No, he's got one more thing. The Holy Spirit interrupts Paul and says, now, Paul, these are the final things I want you to say. After you thought you were saying the final things. Yeah. Pretty important things, I think. Finally. Boy, if this isn't a good verse for every one of us here, especially me. Finally, brethren, God's going to tell us how to think. No wonder I'm anxious. No wonder I'm doing what I'm doing. Thinking what I'm thinking because I'm not thinking right. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Am I thinking the truth? How do I think the truth? The word? What does the word say? I've got to think it. It's got to be in my head. If it isn't in my head, then I got to go there and find it. I like that Jim had a little book. He got a bunch of them. It's called Armed and Dangerous. And all it is a little book, little orange book. It's kind of like, whoa, that's emergency, emergency, emergency. You know, I need to know something. I open a little book and it's all these headings. And all it is a word. Am I anxious? Am I worrying? Am I troubled? Am I depressed? Am I addicted? And it's just like, boom, but here's the truth. It's an awesome little book. I gotta think the truth. Jesus is the truth and his word's the truth. So what's true? Is it true that you're going to fail? No, God says he's begun a good work. How many of us at times? This is it. I'm not going to do it. I can't. I failed. I'm going to fail. I'm going to... No, God says he's begun a good work in us. He's going to complete it. And he's going to preserve us. He's going to present us faultless before the Father. Whoa! Well, Why am I thinking I'm going to fail? Sometimes I get fearful. Why should I be fearful? God said, I don't know the Bible. I've never gone to Way of the Master class. I don't know how to share the gospel. Why should I fail? Jesus said that he would actually give us the very words to say when we're in situations. See, I need to know the truth. And it dispels all this stuff that the enemy tries to do in my life. And so, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble. Again, if I'm in the Word, if I'm thinking the Word, then I have to do the Word. I don't want to just be a hearer of the Word. I want to be a doer of the Word. There's noble things. I don't have to think in the gutter. Whatever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, that eliminates just about that right there. That's a good one. I don't even have to listen to this. It's not a good report, so it's no report. Yeah. Right? That eliminates a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff that my mind can be on. If there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And I just think that's why Joshua, he says, meditate on the word day and night, and you'll find prosperity, you'll find riches, you'll find success. That's why I just think, again, it does have to do with, I can't meditate on the great sayings of the great men. What? Because I learned last night, George Washington, he said a lot of great things. But by golly, maybe we're going to have to rename some universities and bridges and some different things. Because after all, George Washington owned slaves. Oh my goodness. He wasn't a perfect man, was he? But he's a great leader and a great man. He was an evangelist, believe it or not. You read his story, he preached Christ. He's a great general, he's a warrior, but he preached Christ. He loved the Lord. It's an amazing thing. Wasn't perfect. That's why he might have said some great things, and there's others, you know, Lincoln or whoever you want to think of. Great minds. But that's why we just want to think about Jesus' words. Because he was perfect. And God's word. Because it is a light unto my path. And whatever it is there. Wow. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Yeah, when I'm thinking on the truth, when I'm meditating on the right things, when I'm thinking on the right things, when, again, just think of some of the things you think about. Wow. Now I know why I'm anxious. Now I know why I'm depressed. Now I know. But boy, when I start thinking on God's word, he saved me, he's forgiven me, he's cleansed me. He's seated me in the heavenlies. He's blessed me with all spiritual blessings. He's preparing right now a place for me. He's shepherding me through this life. He's a good shepherd. He's a great shepherd. He's the loving shepherd, the caring shepherd. You just go on, wow, how can I not rejoice in that? How can I not be at peace with that? My mind's on the wrong things. Does anybody here ever, immediately, your mind goes to the worst scenario? Mine! That isn't going to work. That's going to be a train wreck, and I'm going to be the engineer. Why do I go there? I don't know. That's the way. I'm going to blame my mom, my dad. I'm a victim. Yeah, no. God's freed me. And so thinking today, we got to commit to that. As never before, we've got to commit to meditating on the Word and the truths of the Word. And maybe if this is too daunting, get that Armed and Dangerous. Boy, you can just go in there, wow, it really says that? Really, is that what this says about? Why am I going there when the Word is just the opposite of this? It shows the deception, the guile of the enemy. To me, these are the important things that Paul has to say. And then he ends his letter. And let's end it. Here's Paul again. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity, but that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Wow, we could spend a whole thing there. Again, I just when I read this, I look in the mirror. Am I content? Am I a content person? Yeah. Certain ways I am. Certain other ways I'm not. I mean, I don't want to become complacent, but I don't think that's what it's talking about. Am I content right now at the place, what? In the place that God has me. If he's directing my life, if he's, am I content? Well, geez, I'm in a hard place. Am I content? Hey, I'm in a blessed place. Am I content? And Paul says, I'm content. And he learned it. What? He learned to trust in Christ. He learned just what we read in the beginning. He learned that Christ was directing his life. Hey, this is not fun being in this prison, but you know what? Christ has me here because the gospel is being furthered. That's why I'm here. I know that. I'm content now. I know that Christ is in control. I know that God will send me a husband. I know that God will send me a wife. I know that I'll have kids. I know that I'll have a job. I know I'll be able to pay the bills. I know. Why? Because Christ said if I seek his kingdom first, he'll add all these things. All the things that I need, he'll supply. And look at what Paul says. I mean, not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. He didn't have anything. I know how to abound. There were times he maybe was flying. He was up on the mountaintop. If he's in the valley, he's content. He knows God's with him. He knows that the shepherd is walking in that valley with him, right through that valley. If he's on the mountaintop, woo, this is awesome. Everywhere and in all things, I've learned to be both full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. See, that's the reality of life. There's going to be some great times. And there's going to be some real challenges. Jesus is Lord in all of it. And Jesus is good in all of it. And Jesus is with me through all of it. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to trust him. And then Paul couldn't do it. What a powerful verse this is. This isn't a military, oh, I'm going to go smack you in the face. No, he knows his total deficiency, and he's found his total sufficiency in the true power, the true supplier, the true source. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I think he's speaking in weakness there. I don't think he's speaking out of, I hear this preached sometimes and I think it's a very humbling statement. In my weakness, in my inability, in my needfulness, I know, I found where true fulfillment and strength and ability comes from. It comes from Jesus. And I'm relying on that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I think he's sitting in that dungeon And he's saying, you know what? I should be dead. He might even be thinking, I don't know why I'm even feeling this way. But I know one thing. If I live, if I die, I can do it all because of Jesus. Wow. Lord, help me to live that way. Help me to live that way. Nevertheless, you've done well that you've shared my distress. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek a gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. He just wanted them to be blessed. It's blessed. You're blessed to be generous. You're blessed to be to give. It's a blessing to be concerned for others and to be outside ourselves. I don't know how many times, you know, there's been sometimes I know, just in my own personal life, we've actually roofed all day. And we get off the roof and it's 5 o'clock. I rush home, switch clothes, and go to the house. And I'm thinking, man, I don't know if I can walk in the doors here. And sit down, and those people come in, and you start singing a song with them, and it's just like, oh. And they bless. What a blessing. What a refreshment. What a beautiful thing. What? To give. To serve. Indeed, I have all and abound. I'm full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice while pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need. And I'm thinking, geez, why didn't he even just say, I know for a fact that God, as I'm in this dungeon, he's strengthening me. I know that I'm going to get through it only because of Jesus. And I know that God is supplying all my need. And there's Paul's heart again. He not him, his situation, his horrible life at the time is so far from him. I know that God's going to supply your need. It's powerful. Again, he's not whining they didn't minister to him, or they just ministered to him a little bit, or, you know, nobody has sent a letter, nobody stopped by on prison visitation day to see me, and, you know, nobody's writing any letters to the prosecutors and to the senators trying to pardon me, you know, I'm here all... He doesn't have anything to say about it. He just, you know what? I know God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I'm confident in that. And I think he was partly confident in that. Not because he's looking in the mirror, because he knew. He knew how God had supplied all his need. As he was thinking on the right things, as he was praying, as he was rejoicing, as he was thanksgiving, as he was living his life, because he knew that Jesus was standing at the door, that the Lord was at hand. And he knew that that's where true fulfillment and satisfaction in life truly came. And again, I'm just being honest with you that there are times in my life I get so bogged down with paying this bill and that bill and doing this thing and that thing and keeping up with this and repairing that and spending all my energy and all these things. And it's just emptiness when it all comes down to it, because it adds nothing to my life. And then when I'm in the gospel we're preaching the gospel and teaching the gospel, and the gospel is being spread throughout, you know, the entire earth, and you see it happening, and you see little hands and big hands being raised, and you say, wow, that's where true fulfillment is. That's, wow. And I know that in all that, it's all Jesus. And his riches are, I can't even fathom them. But God will meet your every need. Everything you have can be found in him. And then he ends kind of with a doxology and a greeting and a blessing. You know, to God be the glory. you know, I love you guys, and you know, make sure you, in essence, you know, give a hug to all the saints. Man, God, make that heart my heart. Lord, give me, you know, again, just we say it, you know, revive me, you know, get, help me to have a, just let, Lord, just again, bring back, you know, after 40 some years, bring back that excitement, that energy. You know, if you've never had that, I mean, I don't know. You know, maybe you need to be baptized in the Spirit. You know, maybe you need to have, and maybe you think you've had, or maybe, man, I know when I was saved, it was such a dramatic, I wasn't on dope. I wasn't delivered from dope. I wasn't alcoholic. I wasn't delivered from alcohol. I was a deep sinner. And God saved me from my sin. I was a churchgoer, but God delivered me from thinking that that's what salvation was. And I'm just telling you, He dramatically transformed my life. The Bible says that when I truly come to Christ, that's what happens. And so all I'm saying today, we're going to close. And the way we're going to close is we're going to just give you an opportunity. If you just need an encounter with Jesus, I can't create that. I'm not saying that. Coming to the altar doesn't create that. But as you come to the altar, and that's we're going to ask anybody who wants to come this morning, come to the altar. And just you and Jesus. You know, just me and Jesus. We got our own thing going. That's another. These songs are popping in my head. Me and Jesus. We have it all worked out. You know, come just work it out with Jesus this morning. Say, Lord, I need that. I'm saved. Lord, just re-energize me. Refill me. Baptize me anew in your Spirit. And who knows, maybe you need just to say, Lord, I need to be born again. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Anybody at all, yeah, come. We'll pray with you. Boy, I'm just saying I want to be re-energized in the Lord in these last days. I want that. I need that. I need to be filled, you know. Don and Kay are coming. Anybody else want to come? Just come. We'll just pray. And then we'll dismiss. Just Micah's coming. You know what? If you don't want to come, you want to just come lay hands on maybe these and just pray with them. Pray that God will just fill them with His Spirit, you know.